form. Now, we accessorize it and we aestheticize it in hopes of masking the nature of this arrangement. And we've done that by wrapping it up in love and feelings and all these kind of buzzwords, you know, these intangible words we use to explain the chemical cocktails that flood our brains during courtship. The dopamine and the oxytocin and the bonding hormones. I mean, these hormones are so potent in what they do that human beings, in our arrogance and because we need men to believe in the fairy tale to extract their excess productivity, we've named it love. And we worship this love. I mean, we've exalted this biologically trivial act of human reproduction to the status of deification it has now. I mean, why do you think we talk about soulmates? Souls, as in the property of God, you know, that which transcends the flesh and passes on to the hereafter if it exists. We mix love and the esoteric concept of the soul as if the two are interchangeable. You know, we're soulmates, and we do so only to mask the fact that women contribute nothing to it. I mean, it's a veritable act of mysticism to have one of these so-called love bonds with a woman. And so we begin selling this lie to our boys essentially from the moment they begin to form cogent thought. You know, from about the age of, I'd say, 5 years old, we begin to bombard boys with this white knight archetype, this rescuer of damsels, these glass slipper chasers, because boys, of course, become men. And what man will work for a family? What man will support a traditional parasite wife after having had an education in the hypergamous proclivities of the fair sex? Now, women most certainly aren't wrong for these proclivities. They are what they are, and I'd rather see them completely with the good and the bad, or at least what I perceive to be the bad. But remember that this fantasy we've sold to our boys in the age of the nuclear family is one of exclusivity. You see, we care so little about our boys having an accurate view of reality in women, and we depend so much on the harnessing of their productivity and creativity in pursuits of the Cinderella lie, that we sell them the con of the exclusive female, when female nature, specifically its hypergamous quality, is everything but exclusive to individual men. No, you see, female hypergamy seeks the animal breeding setup. It seeks the silverback gorilla. It seeks the alpha male, who will eventually be deposed by the up-and-coming alpha male, who has destroyed all other male outliers on the fringes, after which the females will immediately shed all loyalty to the deposed alpha male. There's no loyalty and there's no respect for past endeavor in the inner workings of female hypergamy. We're talking about Breifoldt's law here. Are you the dominant male or not? Yes, then you have access to the females. That's that. You see, we as humans have studied the mating habits and courtship rituals of various, I'd go as far as to say semi-sentient primates and cetaceans. And although I'm sure that they also, on whatever level of cognizance they have, feel extremely powerful feelings of closeness and companionship with their mates, you know, in our studies of them, though, we understand that there's nothing special or amazing about the bond between a male chimpanzee and his female counterpart. There's nothing to be expanded upon. Whatever it is they feel is biologically driven to get them to reproduce, and so it is with the human being. Now, you know, we are the only species capable of objectively analyzing our own reproductive behavior, with the caveat of also being under the influence of whatever biological and chemical processes compel us to carry that behavior out. And yet, instead of objectively analyzing it in cold, hard, scientific terms, we've opted instead to tell our boys that it's some act of communion with some abstract love deity. You know, that every couple's so-called love is unique and special, and under this false pretense, we erect entire civilizations and we watch them grow and flourish off the backs of men that were since childhood made to think that they desperately needed to commune with this love deity through their very own incorruptible, perfect Aphrodite, a goddess of his very own, who, by the way, even though she's a goddess, won't be able to pay her own bills and sustain herself in any meaningful way. Thus, our civilizations grow and flourish off of this singular lie, off of the irrigation ditch of the male belief in the quest for his personal love goddess, and these civilizations, their harnessed male energies, are so damn good at the sustained sprint of male-facilitated growth and expansion that they expand exponentially. And all of this explosive growth and technological innovation is predicated on the fact that although men have a certain technical intelligence, although you can teach men calculus and engineering and physics and all of these things, It's very hard to teach him to swallow a red pill he's conditioned to be terrified of. This red pill is that of female hypergamy, and our civilization is built off of men that need to believe it doesn't exist. where the problem lies now is that we've progressed so much that women simply don't need men anymore, anywhere near as much as they did in the past, and consequently the pretty little lie of female fidelity and love and that special deified bond between men and women is unraveling and crumbling and imploding in on itself before our very eyes. And what a surprise now that Western civilization, which was built on this lie, built on the suppression of female hypergamy, is crumbling along with it. And because men are so invested, you know, because we can't bring ourselves to admit that the civilization we built was built on lies, we still can't point to the queen and say what everybody knows, that she has no clothes, and furthermore, that she wants it that way. Again, a civilization built on lies will eventually crumble under those very same lies. A civilization built on the purposeful ignorance of hypergamy will eventually crumble when enough men rediscover it. Picture the neatly ordered, relatively stable array of hundreds of mouse traps. There are spring mechanisms held open by a ping pong ball each individually. Imagine all of the work that went into carpeting a floor with mouse trap after mouse trap, and imagine how time consuming it was to pry them open and keep them open, each with its own individual ping pong ball. And then imagine this array as the collected works and achievements of Western civilization. Let's say that one of these mouse traps represented the advancements of female birth control, technological advancement and mechanization, and with these advances comes one revelatory free-flying ping-pong ball out of the ether, representing female hypergamy reassertion. What happens when just one free ping-pong ball is introduced into the system, our metaphorical dollop of unignorable female nature? What happens? Well, the first mouse trap is sprung, the ping-pong ball goes flying and it hits two other mouse traps. That one hits four, the next hits even more, and exponential chaos always ensues. So again, a civilization built on a woman as reward system, which also chooses to remain willfully ignorant of female hypergamy, which cultivates in its men and boys a belief that women view men in a way that they're just not biologically programmed to do so, is flirting with and will eventually fall victim to civilizational collapse. It makes you think, you know, what sad little people that lash out at everything around them, desperately looking for a scapegoat to satiate their displaced anger. You see, I'm not even angry at women for rejecting the nuclear family in droves once the opportunity allowed it. As I've said plenty of times before, I'm glad that women did this. Not about the money and children they confiscated in divorce. That, of course, was pure evil. But I'm happy they did it because it destroyed the little fucking dream world we were living in. And because I believe that in a society where women aren't coddled like helpless children, where their actions are linked to consequences, they can and will shake off the infantilization of women that the modern nuclear family breeds. And they just may emerge out of it. And this is the great fear of the social conservative. They just may emerge as fully independent, autonomous beings with their hypergamy intact. The social conservative's main concern has never been for men, but for whether or not women still need men. They are purveyors of the woman as the male's life mission and reward motto. And so when men no longer wish to carry women, and when technology and mechanization creates a reality of constantly decreasing need for the provider male archetype, we see a cascading rejection of the traditional family unit. We see cascading divorce is what we see happen. Now again, it's never been a question of whether or not women can be given incentives to curb their hypergamous instincts. The question is whether or not they should be. Social conservatives are terrified of a non-infantilized, independent female willing to provide for herself whilst having her hypergamous instincts still intact. That's what this is about, a fear of the unbridled hypergamy that will arise out of any society where women are expected to do for themselves. You see, whatever will replace the dead conventional nuclear family is something that will involve men taking into account an honest view of female hypergamy instead of this delusional motto where men believe their little special soulmate really truly loves them, and where women are required to pretend their hypergamy doesn't exist and that their reproductive habits aren't dictated by male status and money and the like. What replaces the dead nuclear family will be a demystified and scrutinized, transactional and reality-based arrangement where men and women, but specifically men, are under no false illusions about what's happening. It will not be deified, it will not be viewed as some ethereal bond between men and women, it will be viewed through a crystal clear lens of resources for access to sex and reproduction. Reproduction then will be commoditized, and so will sex. Prostitution will be legalized, and so will surrogacy. As simple as that. When the reality of the male-female sexual coupling becomes the default, only then will we see men and women in the right reality-based frame of mind to form something more significant than the traditional and conventional family unit. Until then, it'll just be the lie it is today.